As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year. Hello and welcome to The Games, the podcast of record for London 2012 from The Times. I'm Chris Skinner and it's finally here. We are just hours away from the opening ceremony and for the next 3 weeks, London will be at the centre of the universe. Well, for sports fans at least. The Games are obviously having an impact on you. You've been getting in touch with the MyOlympics hashtag as well as filling the comments section on The Times website. And we had an amazing reaction online to Mitt Romney's criticism of the London Games, including from John Best, "What a wally, didn't realise that US politicians as bad as ours. If he is elected, Lord help us." Agree or disagree, let us know. Yesterday I asked Ollie Kay how England's men would get on and he said,
"I think they will draw 1-1 against Senegal, having been very surprised by the physicality."
Some of us have a golden touch and some don't. Today I'll speak to Daniel Finkelstein about the importance of London 2012. He's a fan of opening ceremonies. I'll also speak to Simon Barnes, who, whilst he loves the Olympics, is less of a fan. Plus, teenage Hackney blogger Joe Mason will describe how the Games have changed his area. But let's start with the opening ceremony. I'm joined now by Daniel Finkelstein, Times executive editor. I guess we should start with the opening ceremony that takes place this evening. You're excited.
I am. Yes, some people think the opening ceremony is sort of drama queens doing things that are totally irrelevant to real sports. I totally disagree. I think that if you regard this Olympics as an event as well as a sporting competition, you regard it more as sort of more than just a national sports day, you have to set the tone for it. And the opening ceremony is critical in that. If you want this to lift the country, as I do, if you want it to set a tone of being optimistic and adventurous and playful, then the opening ceremony can do all of those things. So I think it's very important to get that right, quite apart from the fact that there are very few opportunities for such wonderful spectacles anyway. And to be against the opening ceremony, but to be in favour of the sports, is to sort of invest the sport with a logic that it doesn't have. Yes, it's true that the opening ceremony is a bit batty, but so is, running 100 metres faster than anyone else.
How much does Britain need a good game set at the backdrop of the economic situation at the moment? Do we really need to impress other nations?
Yeah, I've always wanted the Olympic Games to come here, and I was very, very happy when it happened, because I think that great moments of national unity and joy are very important for countries. Although I'm a believer in free markets, I understand, I think, enough about animal spirits and human motivation to know that we sort of catch our enthusiasms off each other. And this is a way of transmitting it. I think that we could emerge from these games a different nation to the one that began it. That might sound a bit optimistic, but it has happened in other countries, in Finland, in Australia, twice in Australia, actually, because, you know, the 1956 games in Melbourne were ones that set the whole tone for modern Australia as an emerging nation, yeah, for the new Australians that were coming there. And again, then in Sydney, it did the same thing. So I think it can have a really important galvanising effect on the country and also one of helping the country understand its modern identity.
Boris Johnson has a role to play at the ceremony this evening. What do we expect from him? And what is international standing?
I don't really know. I mean, I think he's quite an English taste. And he'll have quite an interesting dilemma. Does he do the Boris act, you know, turn one way when you're supposed to turn the other, subvert whatever Danny Boyle has in mind for him? Or does he do it straight because he's involved in a show which involved thousands of other people and not just him? If I were him, I probably would incline towards the latter. It's not the Boris Johnson show, but Boris is a very intelligent person. I'm sure he appreciates that.
What events are you going to be clearing the diary for then over the next 3 weeks?
Well, because I'm writing about the Games and the Times will be having a lot of coverage of it, there won't be any events to clear the diary. They'll all be events that are in the diary in order to write about them. Look, I really like running. My greatest athletic feat was defeating Seb Coe in an egg and spoon race, which he did because he dropped the egg.
Still counts.
It's a point that I've made many times in print and in podcasts. So I kind of do have a rather purist belief that running is the kind of heart of all sports. So I really, the middle distance running, everyone really loves this fast 100 metres running. The problem with that is you sneeze and it's over. You know, I really like the longer, meatier ones.
Oh, absolutely.
And they go, the tactical nature of it. And also, I like probably the 1,500, that sort of distance.
Finally then, 3 weeks' time, what's the best case scenario? What has happened over the 3 weeks that means Brits can go, yeah, we really did it?
I don't think there's any one thing. I think it'll be an accumulation of all of the little successes. If we get the transport right, if we get the atmosphere right, the opening ceremony goes well, we have, really spectacular athletic feats, which no one's in control of. But I'm sure that, every Olympics does see it, and we see the emergence of new Olympic heroes, and people feel at the end very good about this Olympics and that it's been well organised and well run, which they do up until now. I think that feeling that Britain's always had, oh, we can't do these things, we don't do them very well, we'd never even win the Games, I think most people's view, that kind of pessimism will have an antidote, and that's a really good thing.
I'm joined now by Times chief sports writer, about to attend his 7th Olympic Games, which is an amazing figure. It's Simon Barnes. Simon, how excited are you right now?
What I'm really looking forward to is having some actual sport to watch. I've spent 7 years saying, I'm glad the Games are coming to London, the Games are great, and we're going to put on a great Games. What I'm really looking forward to now is actually getting in among it and seeing people winning and seeing people losing and seeing people waving their arms in joy and some people collapsed on the floor in self-loathing. That's what I'm looking for, the real sport now.
You recently described pre-Olympic whining as being like a plague. Explain what you meant by that and why you think that has happened over the last 7 years.
It kind of seems to be an inevitable process. I first noticed it in Sydney, which wonderful games, absolutely wonderful games, was preceded by 7 years of the most god-awful bitch-fighting politics you could possibly imagine. So we looked on that as a template and thought, anything the Aussies can do, we can do better. We've beaten them in the Ashes at cricket. Now we're going to beat them in the sport of Olympic whinging. And I think we've done a really creditable job. We have whinged and moaned and complained and nitpicked, sometimes for quite perfectly genuine issues. But now it's time to stop. Now it's time for sport. And perhaps some of us will start to enjoy it. In fact, perhaps it might just be the greatest party the human race has ever been to.
There's one element of the games that you're not a big fan of, which is the opening ceremony.
Yes, I'm going to have to watch this too. So I'm going to have to watch not only the opening ceremony but my step as well, because I don't want to sit there saying, let's 7 years whining, but let me have another 24 hours to whine at the opening ceremony. I find them tend to be pompous and overblown. I'm hoping very much that this one, even if it is loud and vulgar, will actually have something like modesty, like self-deprecation, like humour, like a touch of gentleness, like a touch of humanity in it. If we can get something like that, then I may not be happy with the ceremony itself, but with that, if that's the mood it engenders, if it says we are going to take on the games humbly and joyfully and modestly, then that is the way a country like ours should do it. And so I'll write good things about the ceremony if that's the vibe I get.
Is there an alternative to an opening ceremony, though? How would you like an Olympics, a World Cup, or any kind of similar event to start and to finish?
Well, I think the London Olympic Games should start off with 5 minutes of Morris dancing, and then then cut the tape, and then then say 1, 2, 3, go, and then we have some sport.
Okay, yeah, I can understand that absolutely. And what individuals then are you most looking forward to seeing over the next 3 weeks?
It's hard to say all at once, but I'm looking forward. The first thing I'll be doing will be the eventing, which I'm a great fan of as a horseman myself. And I'll be seeing the great Mark Todd, now in his mid-50s, recklessly back to competition again, recently winner of badminton, and as mad as ever, and a really splendid guy. So it'd be wonderful to see how he goes, and if astonishingly he could pull it off again, which would be his third gold medal for him if he does. Anyway, I shall certainly be watching him in the first week, along with the Brits. I've got a strong fancy for, maybe I should rephrase that, a strong belief that William Fox Pitt might have a very decent games. So that's from the patriotic thing, that's absolutely what. Now, the high spot of me probably for the first week, though, will be the men's all-around gymnastics, in which I'm expecting a big day from Kohei Uchimura. I think he could just show himself as the best gymnast on the planet right now.
Finally, this might be some solace to those who haven't got tickets for the Games. You wrote a piece in yesterday's Times about watching on TV and the joys of watching the sport on TV. Just tell us a bit about that.
Yes, yeah, so first Olympic Games I covered for this newspaper, I covered from my sofa. It was the LA Games of 1984, and it was an unheard of thing to write about television coverage, which I did. But the thing that I found myself writing about was not which commentator said what and whether they got the shot right, but it was the faces that got me. Like the faces. When you're sitting in the stadium, you can watch Usain Bolt run 100 metres and you get a true sense of scale, but you don't see his face in the moment of victory. You get it on the screen a little bit later on a replay, but it's not the same. It doesn't have the same emotional impact. It's not superior, but it's not inferior either. You've got that emotional intimacy when you watch on telly, and that's certainly not available to us up in the stadium. So if you're watching at home on television, in some ways you have really got the best seat in the house.
I'm joined now by Joe Mason, who is a young journalist working on a programme in East London called The Head Starters. So you're Hackney born and raised.
Right.
You're 17, is that right?
Right.
Can you even remember the 6th of July 2005 when the Olympics were granted to London? Were you excited by that?
I was excited, but I didn't know what I was going to expect. I didn't realise how much it would actually end up affecting me personally and where I live.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean positively? Do you mean... What things have changed?
Well, there's been quite a lot of changes to how I get about. The transport system from when I was growing up is completely different to now. It's a lot nicer, it's a lot cleaner, the area. All the parks are much nicer as a result of the Games coming.
The Olympic motto is inspire a generation, but there's been loads of talk that young Londoners have been left behind. Like, the Olympics is a party that young Londoners haven't been invited to. Have you ever felt that way yourself?
I have, and I did feel... I felt a lot of frustration and the other locals' frustration, more so than mine, because I do write a blog about it. I try to get involved with it as much as I can. But especially other people, my neighbours, they're very angry because this huge, momentous occasion, once in a lifetime, comes and sits up right on your doorstep, and they just build these 10-foot fences, electric fences, and don't let you get a ticket unless you're really lucky. So,
how do you feel about the distribution of the tickets and why so few have gone to Londoners?
I mean, it's just so annoying how they couldn't just open up free tickets to all the people who live in the host boroughs and just be like, before all the tickets went on sale, here you are. Obviously, we have to pay. Because, I mean, not everyone's going to even buy them anyway. So it's not, if they're worried that we're just going to take all the tickets and there's going to be no people coming in and spending money from abroad, then that's not the case. I don't know why all these big corporate companies can just throw away tickets to all their employees who have no sort of relevance to the Games. They haven't been affected. They don't live near it.
Have you got any?
I have got tickets now.
Okay.
I got them on the third round, and I finally got them through just applying normally. But it was for something I didn't necessarily want originally, but now I'm just happy that I'm taking part. And
yeah.
And is that the same with your friend? Have most of your friends got tickets now?
One of my friends has tickets. One,
just one,
just one. He's a lucky boy. He's got about 5 tickets or something.
Okay,
crazy.
but you live in Hackney, and like of all your friends, only you and one other pal has got tickets. So
one of my good
not
pals,
ideal,
yeah.
Is it? Not ideal.
It's a joke.
But are you excited about the games?
I am. Yeah.
And you would you say it's the same with your friends? Are you looking forward to say seeing you know Usain Bolt and Rebecca Adlington, all these people actually competing?
For me personally, I don't think the sport aspect is the main thing. I think it's part of it. I think the main thing that I'm excited about would have to be just all the sort of tourists. I do like tourists coming to town,
yeah.
So that's like I'm here right in sort of central London at the moment, so it's really cool just seeing all the tourists about. And
before I let you go, I mean I've loved what you've written on your blog. So at The Journo Joe is your Twitter feed, and you can link there's a link there to your blog, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, as a fellow Hackney sider, enjoy the traffic. It's going to be a fun 3 weeks. Joe, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
We've been asking you to get in touch via Twitter using the MyOlympics hashtag. Chris Bridden sums up the excitement that many people will be experiencing right now. He's off to London on Sunday to see archery at Lords, the first of 3 trips to the Olympics. And as a preview for that, Mike Atherton will join us from Lords tomorrow. Please send your Olympic thoughts over and we'll read as many as we can on tomorrow's programme. Finally, if you listen to this on the Times iPad app, you can also get the programme as an MP3 via iTunes. And if you listen via iTunes, you can get the show on our iPad app, where it comes with some amazing accompanying images relevant to all the topics we cover. If you aren't yet a Times subscriber, go to timespacks.co.uk, where there are various excellent offers to suit your reading habits. Our next show will be with you tomorrow morning. The Times iPad edition updates at 5 a.m, 5 p.m, and 10:30 p.m. every day of the Games. Enjoy the opening ceremony. Bye-bye.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.